Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. As we look on this, our world today, it's very easy to become discouraged. And this week we're embarking upon revival services where we've had cottage prayer meetings and then many, many times during the services the brethren have prayed, and I trust that you have prayed yourself privately, you and the Lord, every member of the church, that our Lord would bless us. And we need to understand that it is the blessing of the Lord that we need. We need the moving and the working of the Lord amongst us. As His people, we need conviction from our Lord about obedience to Him and following Him and those things that He's given to us. And for those that are not saved, they need conviction of the Lord about their sin and their need of Christ. And it is the Lord that we need. We need help from our Lord in every way, every respect. In this passage is here in Isaiah, and it is given to us in its direct context about the waywardness of the nation of Israel, the Lord's nation, the Lord's people, and how they have come to a terrible place that they find themselves in, and this passage tells about that. This passage is also borrowed, some of these verses are borrowed in the book of Romans, telling about the depravity of man, and indeed they do apply. And so I want to read this and start off this morning about reading most of this chapter of chapter 59, and then a couple verses we want to come to, and it does paint a very bleak and terrible picture. But as it is in this chapter, and as it is in the Word of God, and you've heard me mention it often, that the Lord doesn't tell us the terrible news, the bad news, the awful news about our need and our situation, our condition, whether it be the nation of Israel, whether it be the nation of the United States of America, or any other nation on the earth that has been or is now, or the bad news about us individually or in our homes or our state or our county. The Lord doesn't tell us the bad news about that and the terrible news about that without also telling us the good news. And understand that our Lord is the good news. Our great God and King, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the good news indeed. And in Him we find deliverance. In Isaiah 59, the scripture says in verse number 1, and even this chapter, he starts off to remind us that the Lord is the answer. The Lord is the Savior in every case. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His hand is not impotent like the impotent man that we see in the New Testament and the Gospels. Our Lord's not that way. That it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Our Lord can hear. He is able. He's not thwarted in any way. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And He is our God. He is our Creator. Brother Jim, I'm not saved. He's still your God. He is. He is your Creator. He's created you. He is yours and you are His. Now, you don't have faith in Him, you don't have salvation in Him, but that needs to be understood, and that indeed has been lost in our nation, that He is our God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, 54 million innocent children slaughtered at the abortion clinics and the abortion parlors of this world. And you think about dealing with abortion, and you think about how it is our country and our states just wrangle and twist and turn and rest about dealing with that. Even with the nastiness and terribleness that has been brought to light by those that run one organization, Planned Parenthood, and how we just wallow and rest and are found unable to be able to deal with that in a righteous way. Isn't that where conservative politicians, so-called, just can't muster up the ability to do what's necessary to stop such atrocities in our own nation. We are a bloody-handed people. Your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. And your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. It's descriptive of the sinner. It's descriptive of the nation. It's descriptive of our county. It's descriptive of our state. Men that sit in power with ability to do things when a woman would be challenged about her stand in regards to same-gender marriage and that she would not issue licenses to such couples. Yet men up in the government that could do something regarding her would not. Perverseness. Fear. None calleth for justice, verse number 4. Nor any pleadeth for truth. And that's what we see, isn't it? They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. It's just all deadly sin and wickedness and perverseness against God. Their webs shall not become garments, even though they think that their way is right and there will be a future to it. There will not be. Listen, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. And we see that, don't we? We see that. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Sin and iniquity will never yield or generate or become anything good and righteous, helpful and holy. It just goes on down the spiral of death, doesn't it? Make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. We have people that go and take a notion to want to kill others in public venues. They seek to go and they shoot the innocent in places that have been made unguarded by the wisdom of our world and the wisdom of our government. Isn't that upside down? It's just crazy. It's crazy that it's that way. And we look on it and we say, those people, they're fraught and they're eaten up with wickedness and sin and depravity. They're being fed things and they are conjuring up these things in their hearts and their mind. Maybe even many of them even being possessed. The blessing of the activity of demons, those fallen angels. Brother Mark's brought out some about them. Those fallen angels, that has been. We've been shielded and hedged from those things in our country, but that hedge and that shield is being removed. And we look on and say, what's the answer to it? And in many cases, the answer is simple. It really is. Oh, yeah, the facilitation of a thing to protect a school or protect some hospital or something like that, the detail of that could be a little bit complicated, but really, the answers are there, but we just cannot go there as a nation and a people. And yet, young people, children, and older alike are put in jeopardy. It's madness that's at hand, isn't it? Therefore is judgment, verse 9, far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. Oh, we've got the answer. We've got the answer. And in our nation, as it runs and goes now, the answer is always more money, more money. And then billions, millions, and billions of dollars wasted on nonsense. But behold obscurity, for brightness. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Because that's what all this leads to. We're like dead men because we are dead. Our nation, the people of our nation, are dead. Live in existence, are distracted by entertainment. But for any kind of substance, real substance of life, it's just not there. Because why? We've gone away from God, who is life. We got some young people here today, and I'm thankful for it. And listen, if you look to live a life for yourself in the way that this world dictates that you should live your life, you're going to get down the road, our Lord not coming back, you're going to get down the road 10, 20, 30 years. And if you live a life just for yourself and after the pattern or the way of this world, you're going to get down the road 10, 20, or 30 years later, and you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that you have nothing. You're going to find that you have nothing that satisfies. You're going to find that you have nothing that as you look on to the years to come, being 30, 20, 30, or 30, 40, 50 years old, that if all you have is just this world and the pattern and the scheme and the things of this world, you're going to find out that as you begin to stare down eternity, that you have nothing. And you know what? Really, the life and the memories that you have and just living for self and just living after the pattern of the world, there have maybe been a good time or two, some fun things or some enjoyable things, but you know what? They're nothing that you can take and lay your hands on and say that you really have something. Because we don't have anything unless we have the Lord. And we don't have any blessing, true blessings in this life, unless we have the Lord and what He tells and the way that we ought to go. Desolate places as the dead. We roar all like bears. Complaining, quarreling, considering the thing that we don't have that we want and we try to obtain, and people are struggling and grappling and clawing and scraping for peace and for happiness and contentment and joy and just can't find it. Roaring around like bears, and mourn sore like doves, whether it be a public thing or a private lonely thing, as a dove does when they lose their mate. It's said that they go off and they mourn by themselves. We look for judgment, but there is none. We look for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, before God, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. All of that, as we look back and we think back on it and we consider it, it's just all empty. It's all vain. And it's brought us to destruction. Verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt. I find that word revolt interesting because that's the way it is today. The whole way of our world and the way of our nation, our leadership and the people of the world and our community and our state and nation, we just want to rise up and go against the way of the Lord. Revolt against our God, against our Creator. Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Is your life a life of truth? Or is your life a life of falsehood? Pursuing after things that you want to be that just are not so? You know, there's a great thing today where people pursue after to make their own reality. There's even movies about that, about having other realities created. Tell you what, we need to live in the reality that we are in, and we need to obey our Lord and what He has said. And you know what? In this reality, this real life right here, we can have help and blessing from our Lord. But we've gone away from it. Here's the verses for our concentration. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Here's the result of all this. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we pray, Father, that you would just help us. Help us, Lord, to see that the way of this world and the way of our natural self and man is just a no way, dead end way and street and road and equals and ends up in death. Help us, Father, that in you to see that in you is life, and in the Savior there is life full and free. That great love is manifested in your salvation. And Lord, you love us in that you tell us the truth. You've always loved your creation, indeed, because you tell us the truth through your word. Help us, Father, we'd hear you and believe you. For as we that are your children, Father, Lord, revive us, stir us to write good things, holy things, righteous things, things pleasing and honoring unto you. And Lord, for those that are here and not saved, we pray that you might stir them unto eternal life and salvation through Christ. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. In verse number 14, listen to these words. It's so descriptive of our day. Listen. And judgment, that is, as we saw there in Psalm 119 some Wednesdays ago, a verdict. That's what that word judgment is speaking about, a verdict. And judgment is turned away backward. You think about all the things that you've heard about just this week and things that you're going to hear about in the coming week, that the verdict of what is at hand is very simple. But as a people and as a nation, and even people that we know of and our families and friends and folks we work with, they just wrangled to try to cannot come to what God's verdict is about the thing. You understand what I'm saying? That it's just vain talk here and vain justification here and vain empty words here to try to justify it and turn it and twist it around to somehow make it right or okay. We're in a state that the verdict is turned away backward. And you hear that, you think about yourself. I mean, if you're going to fall down, the most fearful way to fall down is backward, is it not? Because you fall down backwards, you can't help yourself in any way. And more than likely, if you fall down backward, you're going to hit your head. And we know how that is. It's dangerous, isn't it? And the verdict, these things are personified. They're made to be as a people in these principles of the Lord. And a right judgment, a right verdict is turned away backward. Why? Because of our departure from God. We haven't got sense enough to even be able to know what it's all about. Because why? The standard's been removed. All things have been made relative, supposedly, rather than there being something solid that are the something solid and the solid thing, the word of our Lord. Listen to this. And justice standeth afar off. that word justice is talking about what is right. Here's the issue, and justice stands over here. Can't get over there. Has no ability to enter, has no ability to stand up and say what's right. Why? Because of this abundance of sin. What's right is not even on the radar screen. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice, rightness, standeth afar off. Listen, for truth is fallen in the street. You know what this word truth speaks about? I mean, the truth is the truth. You know what the truth brings, and you know what this word here in the Hebrew, a synonym for truth is? Stability. Isn't that something? Isn't that something that truth, that word truth in the English here, a synonym for that, and that which is referred to in the Hebrew is stability. And what do we have that's stable in our world? Amen? What is it that we have that's stable? What is it in this world that you can really count on? It's become so the standard and so the norm that even our children don't even understand what we might mourn about. What's the problem, Dad? What's the issue, Granddaddy? Why are you so... That's how thick the fog is. Justice standeth afar off. Truth, stability is fallen in the street. Why is it so that someone in high office, and certainly it's obvious that they had a failing in the things that they did, and we just can't get there to find it. And those that would seek to do so are railed and maligned and abused and squeezed and slandered. And nobody stands up. Few stand up and say, what's right? Listen to this. Truth is stability has fallen in the street, and equity. Listen to this. You know this is so, and it creeps in on us, and we don't even know it. These things do. And equity. You know what that word equity is talking about? Straightforwardness. Straightforwardness cannot enter. Someone murders somebody and say, well, there's some kind of mental deficiency or thing in their past that caused them to do that. And there's witnesses. They murdered and they raped and they abused people and say, well, there's some thing about their race or something that just, there's something back there. We can't be straightforward about anything. And not that we're to be ugly and not that we're to be mean. See how where we've come to? The truth and just the straightforward answer and the truth can't even be. There's always a reason. There's an excuse. There's a thing in the background that caused it. Nobody has any responsibility for anything that they live and do. Yea, truth or stability, verse 15, faileth. And this is true. Listen to this. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Why wouldn't somebody go ahead and write to the president and tell him that some of the things that he is doing are not according to the word of God and not according to righteousness and all that? You know why some of us won't? I'm talking about me too. Because they know your name and they know your address and they can push you off to the IRS and you'll have trouble. See what it does to us? You want to try to stand and make even a statement for what's right, and there's fear about your life being ruined. It's a sad shape, isn't it? That's just one example. That's just one example. Want to offer a complaint to the authorities, but the authorities have become so controlling and so enabled in their power and ability that there's fear that there might be retribution. And then there's fear to stand together because you might get sucked into a thing. You know, there's a promise that's made to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's look over here. And this is a promise made to the Lord's nation. And it's a short summary of what we have in our day and in our land. And they were promised this if they went away from the Lord. And that's what we've done. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 28. Deuteronomy 28:28. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness, craziness, furious craziness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart, fear, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Didn't we read some about that in Isaiah 59 about blind men groping around, groping at the wall, that they would be as such? And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. That's what the Lord promised the nation if they went away from Him, this nation, Israel. You know, and our nation started off certainly nearer to the Lord than we are now. And indeed, we are full of madness. You know what? As we read early in that chapter in Isaiah 59, though, there is hope and help. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Take a look over here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. There's hope and help because there is one that's watching. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, have you seen that? We sure have. Marvel not at the matter. But that's our tendency, is to marvel, isn't it? And he's not saying, the Word of God and the Lord is not saying that we shouldn't care. Indeed, we should be grieved at wickedness and sin and the departure of our nation, our people from the Lord. We should be grieved at that. But we need to know that there is one that sees, and there is one that cares, and there is one, our Lord, that can do something. Marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and they be higher than they. When we might fear about being oppressed or abused ourselves, let us put our eyes upon our Lord. Because he knows, and he will avenge, and he will help us in the midst of our plight. We read in Isaiah 59 about the plight of our nation and the people of our nation and us. Indeed, there is a solution by this one. There is help by our great Lord and King. In Malachi 3, listen also here, about the listening and the watching of our Lord. He talks about here about those that say it's vain to serve the Lord and what profit there is to obey him and how it is the wicked are set up. Listen, verse 16 in Malachi chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. We can have fellowship one with another around our Lord, can't we? And we can be an encouragement and a help one to another, and we need to be. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. In spite of all this and the great plight of our nation and the people of our nation and even these things that creep in on us, there is one watching and there is one that can help us. Even now, we know our Lord will deliver us in the end, indeed, but he will help us now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I trust this is a familiar passage to you, there is help. And you know what? From the standpoint of we who are upon earth, the source and the coming of the help is going to be by the Lord's people who are here. Yes, we're talking about responsibility that you and I have. Understand, we've said it in recent times, we who are saved, in the middle of this plight, in the middle of this great sin and wickedness that's at hand in our world and in our nation, in our land, we are the ones who are connected to our Lord. The wicked are going to follow after wicked things. Satan is going to give his kingdom that he has been given to whomsoever he wants to, along with the restraining hand of the Lord. It's not the wicked that's going to be able to find a solution on this earth. The wicked, those that are without Christ, they're ate up and wrapped up in their sin and their depravity. They know nothing. They know nothing but to go after and away from God in every way. It's the Lord's people. We're the ones with the connection. And if there can be blame laid at anyone's feet, it's to be laid at our feet. Amen? Because we're the ones that have been brought from darkness to light. We're the ones that can see. They can't see. They don't know. They're just doing what comes naturally. Indeed, they are, in a sense, the victims of sin and the victims of the adversary, Satan. But we are the Lord's people. And we know that there's something wrong. And we know the one that can help and make it right. So we need to know that. There is a solution. There is help. In this chapter of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in the direct context, Solomon has built the temple. And he's dedicated it to the Lord and has asked and prayed for the Lord to work there and to be there and to help his people and that his people would honor God and worship God. They've poured out their selves and their souls, everything to the Lord. They've honored him. And the Lord appears to Solomon by night. And he tells him he's heard his prayer. He's told him that in that place, the Lord will be there. And he does accept it and receive it as a place of sacrifice unto the Lord. And he tells there that if he does chastise his people, if he sends a pestilence among his people, if there is a difficult time for his people, he says in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, not the people of the world, not the sinner that's without Christ, but the Lord's children, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It goes on to say in verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." You know, this promise is to Solomon and to the Jews and regarding the temple in Jerusalem. How do we bring that down here to us today? How can we look at this promise that's made unto Solomon and the nation of Israel, and it is indeed made unto them? How can we take and for ourselves who are not Solomon, who are not Jews, who don't worship in that temple in Jerusalem, how can we dare lay claim to that? How can we borrow from that? How can we go to that and say, "Lord, we need you. Forgive us of our transgression, our apathy, our lack of desire of obeying you in this world, our lack of witness, our lack of service, our lack of spreading the seed of the gospel of your good word, our being ate up by the way of this world and our thinking being bent to the way of this world. How can we lay claim to this?" This promise is made to Israel. It's made to the Jews. It's made relative to the temple that's there in Jerusalem. Is this promise to us? What about us being Gentiles and living in this age? We're not Jews. We have no physical temple. You know what? Our Lord addressed this very thing. Do you know that? He addressed this very thing during the time of his ministry. In John chapter 4, we read here what Jesus says is at hand in our day. And you know what? It doesn't short circuit or circumvent what the Lord promised to Israel. Isn't our God great? You know, we just need to get a handle on our God is great and does the impossible. As a brother said, when it comes to the rules, it's the Lord that makes the rules. And when he wants to make new rules or different rules or rules that seem to be contradictory to work at the same time, and we use that word rule like a law, you know, like gravity is, God can do it. Our Lord deals with this about this things relative to this promise made unto Solomon and to the nation of Israel. He says to this woman here, the woman at the well at Sychar, he says in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." Geography is taken out of the picture for now. You know what? Geography will be brought into the picture one day. But during this age, during this time, the New Testament church age, the time of the Gentiles, the Lord says geography is not an issue. "Ye worship ye know not what," verse 22, "but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. It is in Christ, who is a Jew. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So praise be to God for this age and for this time that you and I find ourselves in, the geography, the structure that's been taken away, that's been set aside for this time. You know what? Our Lord Jesus even gives us understanding about this issue of the temple. Brother Jim, we don't have a temple. We don't have a temple. We don't have a place that we can go and pray. Well, here the Lord tells us about geography and the temple, or that structure, that it's not going to be the place. Mount Gerizim is what the woman there had referred to, and the Jews held to Jerusalem, which is true and right. But the Lord says the true worshipers are going to worship. He says, even right now, at this time, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Lord, the Father, seeking that kind of folks to worship him. But what about the temple, Brother Jim? In John chapter 2, verse number 19, what did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. You know what? In the beginning of our Lord's ministry, he referred to his body as a temple. His physical body as a temple. How much of the Spirit does Jesus have? Every bit of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Every bit of the Spirit of God dwelling in that temple. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has understanding of this and writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He writes to them and to us to give us understanding about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We are the temple of our Lord now. Look here in chapter 6, verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Indeed, it looks like we can claim that promise that was made in that day to that nation. There's a principle that's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16, and that second epistle to the church at Corinth. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There's no physical temple that is standing that the church at Corinth goes to worship at. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, and this speaks to us, and it's been hinted to, but this is more direct. In Ephesians chapter 2, it even tells how it is with the Lord's churches and their place, those churches and their place as the temple of our Lord in this day. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 21, let's back up to verse number 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The plight of our nation and the people of our land, and even as it comes over on us, the children of God, this plight is great. It is terrible. But you know what? There's help. There's help, and there's a solution. And that solution lies in us. Brother Gordon preached it when he was here. And I agree with him what he said. We can have revival if we're willing to pay the price. We can have revival if we're willing to do and pursue what our Lord has given us. We can be revived. We can be stirred. We can be helped if we really want it. Our Lord is able. Is it any lacking on his hand? Is our Lord one that will withhold good things from us? Did not the Lord say that the blessing of the Lord is so great that he'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, so we're saved. That's what happens when you're saved. But you know what? As we've preached in the last several Sundays, we have this old man that wars against the new man. Wars against the Spirit of God within. And which do we feed? Which do we feed the most? Which do we look to encourage the most? Listen to what he says. We don't have a physical temple. We don't need that temple in Jerusalem. We don't need a place of geography. We are the temple of the Lord as individual children of God and as His church. And He says, if my people, are you the Lord's? My people, He says, which are called by my name, do you claim the name of Christ? Is He your all in all? We need to be careful about that. But dare we call ourselves Christians? I think that's something that the world will determine whether we are or not. Those around us will determine that or not. Are we the children of God? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. To humble ourselves is to bow in our hearts and our minds and maybe even physically, as Brother Stephen brought out, to bow ourselves before our Lord and admit constantly that we need Him. Not that He needs us, but we need Him. I need Him in my life. Where I doubt, where I get off track, where I think things that I should not think that are not honoring to my Lord. When I don't, when He said something plainly and He convicts me about doing a thing, I need to humble myself before Him and obey Him. To humble oneself before, as Brother Isaiah, Brother Mark touched upon it, as Brother Isaiah has shown the throne room of God, and he is indeed humbled before his Lord, isn't he? And the Lord says, who shall we send? And Isaiah says, I'll go. He said he would go because he was humbled before the Lord, and we need to humble ourselves before our God. Do you have plans to be in the services this week? Or are you just going to work it out if it works out? We make plans to go here, we make plans to go there and go on vacation and do different things. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But have we planned and have we purposed? Have we made provision to want to be here in these services that we say and call revival services? To sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus as the brother is given the messages. We pray our Lord will give the brother the messages that we need and give him utterance of that word. And as we sit at the feet of our Lord to hear him. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray to petition our Lord for what we need, for what our children needs, for what our spouses need, for what our families need, for what our county needs, our community needs. You know, I've been praying that the Lord would stir the people of our community. It's going to take Him to do it. But you know what? We're connected. We're the ones that can ask Him to do so. Lord, would you not stir the people of this community? There's a brother... Brother Stephen and I talked and here recently about just the deadness that's at hand. The deadness. Look to talk to people about the Lord and the way this world is and the entertainment, the distraction and the ease that we have, all the things and stuff that's at hand. And again, and none of that stuff in and of itself is bad, but when it's a distraction, it is. Because it distracts from life and our Lord. Lord, will you stir these people up? Will you stir me up? Shall humble themselves, if my people shall humble themselves and petition me, pray. Lord, help our country. Father, give us some leadership that will go and have some, at least some semblance of righteousness. That there would be some justice, that equity would be able to stand up and that truth wouldn't be falling in the street, because that's what we've got right now. Well, the Lord's not going to do anything in Washington. Well, have you asked Him? Are we saying, do we believe that He is not able? When we see something that grieves our hearts and on the news or what we read or what we see, And it grieves our heart. Do we pray our Lord rather than just grieve about it? And we should grieve, but do we pray our Lord would change it? If my people will seek my face, and we have our cottage prayer meetings, and I trust that you've been praying otherwise, to seek the Lord's face, to see Him. What's that mean, to seek our Lord's face, to see Him? If we see Him in His glory, we will be helped. We will get our priorities right. And he says here, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, these old wicked ways of this world can creep in on us, can't they? Do you have sin in your life? Are you allowing things in your home that aren't right? You have disobedience against your Lord and your work or the things that you do or the entertainment that you seek, or are you just don't care? We can deal with things by just not caring, having apathy, can't we? Turn from our wicked ways. That's repentance. That's true repentance. And I hate to use a qualifier like that, but that is repentance. When we see it, we know it's wrong against God, and we turn from it. I turn away from not being a witness of my Lord to being a better witness and a more vocal witness of my Lord and salvation through Him. He says, if my people will bow down before me and pray unto me, bring their petition, and really want to know what I say out of my mouth and where my face is looking and what I want, and turn from their wicked ways. Hear that? He's not talking about the world. He's talking about you and me. Then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. The peril and plight of our nation is great. The peril and plight of our state, of our community, is great. But you know what? There is help. In Isaiah 59, here at the end of the chapter, in verse 16, the Lord is at hand, and He is ready to help and to avenge and to strengthen. We don't know what the exact plan of our Lord is, but you know what? Shall we be found not seeking His face or seeking His face? Better we be found going to Him. Amen. Verse 16 of Isaiah 59. And He saw, that is the Lord, and I have problems with these pronouns, and knowing who all they apply to. But listen to what it says. And He saw that there was no man, that is the Lord saw, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore His arm, the Lord's arm, brought salvation unto the one that needed help, unto him. And His righteousness, you know what? It'll sustain us. For He put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. There's our great Savior and Deliverer. And He will do so for us. According to their deeds, accordingly He will repay fury to His adversaries, recompense to His enemies, to the islands He will repay recompense. Are those islands talking about us? Is the nation of the United States of America? So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, that's our direction, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That sounds like Israel being delivered, doesn't it? Back to that geography becoming important. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. He'll even save the Jews, won't he? But listen to Isaiah's summary. As for me, this is the Lord speaking. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. There's help and deliverance for us and for our children, for our nation, for our church, for our region, our community, our state, and it's only found in the Lord. May we, his people, seek him. Lord, please help us. Lord, please help us. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 20, verse 9, save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. Lord, please help us.